If you have your Bible, Isaiah chapter 6, and if you would join with us, we make our confession this morning. The words will be on the screen. If you agree, we invite you to make this confession out loud with us as we join together. So, you ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By his truth, I am set free. Free indeed, I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is open. My spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you think about this, I want to ask you a question of how you would complete this sentence, okay? Or maybe I could say a verse, all right? But just again, you don't have to say anything out loud. But God is blank. And you fill in the blank. God is what? All right, and there's more than one correct answer, okay? There are many. But in my own thinking, I would say that the overwhelming majority of people, if they filled in something there that's scriptural at all, are going to say, God is love. God is love. And that is true. That is, thank God he is. Thank God he is love. And that's scriptural. And when I looked it up, I actually went through the scripture and I looked up specific references like God is love. God is good. God is faithful and so forth. I wanted to see how many times the Lord basically emphasized his own attributes in his word. And one of the classes I took was called Biblical Theology, and I had to read a book by a man named Michael Lawrence. And he said something that really stood out to me about a verse like 1 John 4:8, which says, God is love. And would you just think about this a moment? He said, God is love is popular because we can make it say what we want. Isn't that something? We can take a scripture like God is love, and we can kind of make it say what we want. You know, kind of say, well, I know I might not be doing right, but God is love. And we kind of tailor it along that way. But the fact is, God is the perfection of every good virtue. And if we want to know God, if we want to know our Father in heaven in truth, then we need to know his full revelation. And not just one attribute, because all of his attributes are important. And as I went through, I found one of the most often cited truths about God is this, and it's the simple message today. God is holy. God is holy. Now, thank God he's love. Thank God he's merciful and faithful. But I can't twist God is holy around too much to suit my knee. God is holy. So, in fact, I counted 33 times just in the book of Isaiah where it either says God is holy or he's called the Holy One. But in Hebrew, it's literally one word. The Holy One literally just says holy. So 33 times in the book of Isaiah. And so Isaiah chapter 6, we read in verse 1, the Bible says this. In the year that King Uzziah died, he was a good king. He reigned 52 years, so he brought some degree of prosperity and stability to the nation. And this leader died, and Isaiah may have had some concern, but he says, in that year, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne. Uzziah had died, but the King of Kings was still on the throne. The King of Kings was still reigning from on high. And he goes on, he says that the train of his robe filled the temple. The Hebrew says the seam of his robe filled the temple. The seam. So how big is your God? The seam of his robe filled the temple. Verse 2, and above it stood seraphim. these are interesting looking. The word actually relates to fire or something burning. These burning ones, these fiery ones, seraphim, each one had six wings. Now, in the Bible, angels are not typically presented with wings, but these seraphim do have wings, six of them. With two, they covered their face. With two, they covered their feet. And with two, they flew. And verse 3 says, and one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. The whole earth will one day be filled with the glory of the Lord. The Bible says, like the waters cover the sea. And that holy, 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 three times, it's like it's intensified. And I wanted to just give you a simple definition of what does holy even mean. Because I remember some of you been in the church circles for long enough to know about holiness. There is even a holiness, and I'm not bashing that, thank God, for like a denomination. And when I was, as a younger child, coming in church, holiness could be considered like, you know, guys didn't wear the hair a certain length too long over your ear or your collar. Ladies, y'all didn't wear that makeup or the slacks or anything like that. Now, I'm wanting you to know, I don't believe that's holiness, all right, necessarily, because that focuses so much on the outside. And the outside is important, but the heart is more important. Because someone may not let their hair ever touch their ear, and a lady may never allow pants on her legs, but can still be filled with pride. And can still, see, that's not holy. So holy simply means pure. When we say God is holy, it means God is pure, and he is completely separate from sin. He is completely separate from contamination or defilement. Holiness means separation. So God is separate from anything of defilement, anything of sin and evil, and there is an application for us about being holy. And I want to just give you this verse, and I'll refer to it, Lord willing, a few times during the message, and I would like to give you a little challenge this week for you to think about it and maybe write it down and learn it this week. And then not just to learn it, ultimately, we want God's word to help us live it. So to learn it and to live it out, and it's found in 1 Peter 1:15. If you want to stay there in Isaiah, I'll just basically stay there for the most part. But we'll put this on the screen, 1 Peter 1:15. I'll read it to you. It says, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. So as he, because God is holy, he calls us to be holy, and he says, live it out in every area, in all your conduct. So in every area of our lives, what does that mean? What does that look like? How do we live holy? If it's not what I'm wearing or makeup or whatever, how do I actually live that out? Because God is holy. And I believe there are two scriptural references here. I couple two things together if you want to write these down. I'll give them to you. In fact, let's just, before I move off of that, would you read that verse out loud with me? It's 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 15. If you just read it off the screen with me, ready? But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. And then, so how do we respond to God's holiness? I believe two scriptural ways. Number one, with humility and repentance. And number two, with worship and service. And you don't have to be a speed writer. We'll come back to this and give you plenty of time to write it out. But humility and repentance, and then worship and service. Isaiah chapter 6, and I'll go to beginning in verse 4. And before I read this, this is so important. There were only a few people who had an experience like Isaiah's in Scripture. Only a few. So please, we must base the reality of God's holiness on his word. That's why he gave us his word, so that we could get to know him. We don't have to have an experience to know God is holy. Now, thank God, if we have an experience where we see him high and lifted up, or we sense his presence so powerfully. I've been in settings like that in worship. I mean, and it brings you to a point of just brokenness, not arrogance, but brokenness. But we can know God is holy because he tells us he's holy. So he is sinless, he is pure, he is separate from sin. Verse 4 says this, after these, the seraphim cry, holy, 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 verse 4 says, the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, the house being the house of the Lord, woe is me, for I am undone. Brother Rocky's translation, I'm dead. That's a paraphrase. But he realized, man, I've seen the glory of God here. I've seen the Lord. He said, I am undone. He said, woe is me. And notice what he said, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Let me pause here just a second. Do you think he would make that estimation of our culture today? I heard a testimony. I don't need to mention any names, but I know someone who works with a lady, and she has a 20-year-old son. He's highly recruited baseball player in high school, and he's actually in training now with one of the major league teams. His dad was a professional baseball player, but this 20-year-old young man is also a committed Christian. And the other players, he contacted his parents. He said, there's so much pressure. The other guys on the team are just trying to get him to say, you know, one of the words we might say, a blank bomb. You know what I mean by that? And just that kind of pressure. What is that going to prove that he's a man? Is that going to all of a sudden mature him? But he's dealing with that all the time. But because he was faithful to the Lord, I just heard this week, he ended up leading one of his teammates, a 28-year-old, to the Lord because they saw something different in him. I said, God bless him. God bless him. Because that challenged me. Because I wasn't doing that when I was in my younger years always. But I thank God for it. He was willing to take the heat. And brothers and sisters, if we don't live different from the world, we will lose not only our appeal for somebody drawing to the Lord, but we lose the power of God of making an impact in the world. We need to live separate from the world. That's what it means for us to live holy, is we don't talk like the world, and we don't have the same attitudes and ways of the world. We struggle with it. We're sinful. We battle, but we don't give in to it because we belong to the Lord and we're separated to Him. That's what holiness means for us, and we live it out. Would you say God is holy? And as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. So he goes on in that same verse and he says, I'm a man of unclean lips. Notice he wasn't just putting others down. He recognized his own sinfulness. And I dwell among people of unclean lips. And he says, my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. See, humility and repentance go together, because if we're in pride or arrogance, we're not going to repent. But if we humble ourselves, see, humility sees God's greatness and our need. And then in the light of God's holiness, we see, man, I see my own sinfulness just because I'm in the light of one who has no sin. And now my heart is humbled, and I'm not only humbled, I want to do something about it. So I recognize He's great. I need him. And repentance is simply this. I turn from sin to God. That's repentance. I'm turning from unbelief to faith in him. That's what it means to repent. That's all it is. It's that simple, but it's that powerful. Because repentance brings the change of God into our heart and then gives us grace to receive what he has provided for us. That's why he says in verse 6, then one of those seraphim flew to me. He had, having in his hand, a live coal, which he had taken with tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Notice, your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged. That means it's cleansed, it's forgiven, it's removed. Your iniquity is taken away. The reason our sin can be taken away is because Jesus loved us and he came and took our sins upon himself. What a blessing that the holiness and the cleansing God requires is the holiness and the cleansing God provides. So Jesus took our sin upon himself, and when he suffered and died on the cross, he was bearing the judgment for our sin. He had no sin to bear. But think about that. Just right here in this sanctuary today, those of you maybe streaming, think of all the collective sins just right here. Y'all must be thinking about y'all's, just like me. I can't even imagine all of that was put on Jesus. That's why he wanted to shy away from it and said, if there's any way, Father, that I don't have to drink this cup of wrath against sin, let it be. But if not, I'm willing. Thank God. And Jesus bore our sin. That's why we can be forgiven. And 3 days later, he came back to life from the dead. Jesus paid the price. Jesus paid the ransom. It was like we were held in kidnapped. We were held in ransom by Satan. And Jesus paid the ransom to forgive our sin, free us from sin, free us from Satan, free us from death, and bring us back to right relationship with God. And when we believe in our heart in Jesus, that he is the Son of the living God, sinless, died on the cross to pay for my sins, came back to life and reigning right now. When I believe in my heart that Jesus is Lord, he wipes the slate clean. I'm forgiven of all sin. He makes me righteous in his sight, and his Holy Spirit lives on the inside. That's the good news. God is holy. Would you say that with me? God is holy. See, God makes us holy. If God makes us holy, we're holy. The Bible says the blood of Jesus cleanses from how much sin? All. Cleanses from all sin. So we belong to him, and holiness simply is living that out. This young man on that baseball team was just saying, I'm completely Jesus. I'm completely his. I belong to him, and I'm just going to live. Yes, I'm going to fall short at times. I'm going to sin, but I'm going to keep my heart humble before God. I'm going to be quick to repent. And I'm going to stay in fellowship with my Father. As he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all conduct. We belong to him. I would say it like this. I thought about it in covenant. I'm separated from others in the world. I'm separated from because I'm separated to Kim. We're in covenant. So I have a relationship with her that I don't have with everyone else. That's what holiness is. I'm in covenant with the God of all creation. I'm in covenant with the Holy One, and he made me holy, and I don't do some of the other things because I'm his. That's holiness. And it's more on the inside, and then it comes out, and whether your hair is long or isn't, you can still be holy before God. More like Jesus. So humility and repentance, and then secondly, worship and service. Worship and service. Isaiah 6, verse 8 says, I also heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? This is God talking now. Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Like Father, Son, and Holy Spirit speaking. And Isaiah said, here am I. Send me. God took Isaiah from woe is me to here am I. Because he provided the cleansing for him. And see, in the Bible links worship and service together. Now, it's true that we can serve without worshiping. Someone could be incarcerated, and part of their responsibility is they have to go out and clean. Maybe you've seen teams out like cleaning like along the highway or something like that. They're probably not doing it out of worship, you know, necessarily. And unless they know the Lord. So they could serve without worshiping. But what or whom we truly worship will get our service. The Bible presents cover to cover that worship and service go together. That's why it says, you shall worship me only and have no other gods. Him only shall you serve. The Bible talks about those who worship and serve the creature rather than the creator who is blessed forever. By worship, here's what I mean. Whatever or whomever gets our attention, whoever gets our affection, whoever gets our allegiance will also get my service. So my attention, what draws my attention? What captures my attention? Because if it captures my attention, if this person captures my attention, and that can be okay, but if it captures so much of my attention that I begin to be drawn toward it or drawn toward them in a way that compromises my faith in the Lord, then I'm giving my attention and my affection, and then I'll start to give my allegiance to someone or something that can become an idol. And God says, no, I have your first attention. I have your first affection. I have your first allegiance. And then as long as I'm first, then you can stay all right with these other areas. But he must be first. That's what I mean. If he really is first place, we'll serve him in some capacity. They just go together. I remember, in fact, if you want to write this verse down, Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. The Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, because God has been so good to us, he says that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. What's the next word? Holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. That phrase is also translated in the New Living. This is truly the way to worship him. This is truly the way to worship him. This is not holiness is not in competition with God's love. The absolute holiness of God makes his love for me even more special. Because I realize how holy God is and that he loves me and calls me friend and calls me one of his children and draws me into his family. That doesn't make me want to, that makes me feel like, Lord, thank you. We worship and serve God out of gratitude and love to him for his goodness to us. As I was preparing for this message, I remembered one of the dramas that we did years ago. It's called Decision Time. And I play Jesus in this drama, and there are four characters. And one is like a real angry person carrying a knife, like just going out to attack people. And then one's a businessman. He's got a briefcase. He's looking at his watch. He's in a hurry. One was actually like a religious person, had all kind of religious paraphernalia and so forth. Anyway, there were four characters. And as the drama went on, it comes to a place where people are making a decision. And to make a decision to come to Jesus, represented by I'm holding out a red bandana, like the blood that I've given, my life's blood for you, and they grab a hold. And two of the characters reject. And there comes a point when there's like this loud boom, like a door has shut. And the other two are left out. And as Jesus, the Bible talks about God turning his head away. And so I turn away and it's like an invisible wall. The two characters try to run up and get to me then, but then they can't. It's too late. The door's been shut. And one time when I was doing this drama, we were practicing. And so I went like this to, because I had to put up that imaginary wall. And when I looked, it was my daughter playing that part. Now that set in. And maybe I had just a taste of God's heart that was saying no. That is why Jesus came. I will take that sin on myself from you and for you. You just have to be willing to receive. But if we reject, there can be a place and a time when it becomes too late because God is holy and he cannot allow sin into his presence. Do you see how he's holy, but he's also loving and compassionate so that what he requires, he provided. God is holy. Would you say that with me? God is holy. Would you turn to one more scripture, 2 Chronicles 26. It's just back a few books to the left there, past Proverbs, Psalms, Nehemiah, Ezra, and so forth, 2 Chronicles. If you go as far as the 1 and 2 Samuel or Kings, you went too far. 2 Chronicles, chapter 26. 2 Chronicles 26. I'll just give you these last couple of scripture references. And that's it. As he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. But we do it because we're so loved and we're grateful and we received God's cleansing and his grace. Isaiah related his vision to a king that died. Remember? In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. I want to tell you what happened in Uzziah's life. I don't think it was just coincidence that he said he died. He related it to something here. And the Bible says this in 2 Chronicles 26, verse 16. 2 Chronicles 26, 16 says that when the king, Uzziah, was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord by entering the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. See, in pride, Uzziah trespassed into the Lord's temple and did something that God's holiness did not allow him to do. The priests were only supposed to do that. If you were here last week, I shared a message called Beware of Hypocrisy. I tried to make the distinction between being a hypocrite and being a Christian who does something hypocritical. But I said there are two warning signs that Scripture gives us, anger and pride. And when we sense that, let's be willing to examine our heart and make sure we're not getting ready to do something hypocritical. And that's what Uzziah did here. He barged in, and 81 priests went after him and said, "That's not right. I know you're the king, but you're trespassing into the Lord's house, and it's not right for you to be here. It's only for the priest to burn the incense." Now, Jesus opened the way where we can all come in to his presence, but that wasn't the case at the time, and he just took it upon himself to go barging in. And while he was in there, this is what the Bible says, still in that same chapter, 2 Chronicles chapter 26. Would you look at this in verse 19? It says, Uzziah became furious. See, he had both pride and anger. He became furious, and he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was angry with the priests, leprosy broke out on his head. And he became a leper. And then if you drop down to just the last verse there, verse 21, it said, King Uzziah was a leper until the day of his death. He dwelt in an isolated house because he was a leper. Brothers and sisters, taking God lightly or discounting his holiness never ends well. God is holy. I want to close with this. If you want to just write the references down, it's 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. 2 Corinthians 6, 17 through 7:1. It's just three verses here together. We'll close with this. 2 Corinthians 6, 17. The words will be on the screen. The Bible says, "Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord." See, we're talking about separation. "Come out from among them, be separate, says the Lord. Don't touch what's unclean, and I'll receive you. I'll be a father to you." Think about that. God is saying that to us. "I'll be your father. I'll be a father to you. You'll be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." Then, therefore, because of these promises, having these promises, "Loved ones, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness." That means I'm completely his, completion, maturing, completely his, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. See, the promises of God inspire us to give ourselves completely to him. And don't you know, if we will live a life of humility and repentance, a life of worship and service, it's going to help us to get to know our Father better. Living a life of humility and repentance, worship and service, is going to help us grow more like Jesus. And living a life of humility and repentance and worship and service is going to help us be a light to others. That's what God wants for all of us. That's ultimately what gives him glory. I know myself enough to know if I maintain a humble and repentant heart to worship and serve the Lord, I believe it can help us in our relationships. It can help us in our families to get along better. And yeah, you're going to have your disagreements at times, but it gives us grace to work out those things rather than just completely pulling apart. It helps us with our challenges. I believe it helps us in our temptations and battles. And I believe we would even have God's grace when we fall, because we do at times. That having a humble, repentant heart and a worshiping, servant heart is going to help us just be quick to repent, stay close to the Lord, and keep worshiping and serving him. That's what it means that God is holy, and as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. On this Palm Sunday, It was a day when Jesus rode in on triumphal entry, and it's also associated with the cleansing of the temple. Would you join me right now in just going to the Lord in prayer and just asking, saying, Lord, even as I should pray every day this week, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, know my anxieties, and see if there be any wicked way in me. See if there be any path of pain or any idolatry in my heart, and then lead me in the right way. Lead me in the way everlasting. Would you just be willing to come before the Lord right now, the one who loves you most, and just say, Lord, would you just examine my heart and life and any my motives? And then would you just be willing to put away anything, and here's how I want to say it, that would hinder God's love to you and God's love through you. No barriers. He loves you. Don't let anything come between your heart and his. Receive his love and then share his love. Can we close in prayer?